Please be seated. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are called by God into relationship with God the Trinity, where we participate in God's community of love. We are called to live in relationship with God and with one another. And we are called to love as God loves us, loving God, our neighbor, ourselves, the whole of creation. In fact, we praise God by loving, by being faithful stewards of everything that God has entrusted to us, that God has, in God's loving care, provided for us. We are also blessed by God with intellect and free will. And so we must choose if we will love and follow God. Moment by moment throughout the whole of our lives, we must decide how we will act, what we will do, whom we will follow. And for us humans, it's certainly easy for us to get distracted, to stray, to turn away from God, even to forget God. I have to be honest that I periodically wonder why God has done this. Why has God entrusted this world to us? We humans who can be so fickle and outright rebellious. I still remember how several years ago the Daily Word from the Society of St. John the Evangelist, that community of Episcopal brothers in Cambridge, years ago offered a daily word that has stuck with me and I find helpful. It's called freedom, and I quote, "God created us in his image with the capacity to love, and love requires freedom. And with our freedom, we have the capacity to do great evil as well as great good. God took a tremendous risk in making us." Unquote. I find that right. God took a tremendous risk in making us. God creates us with the capacity to love and also gives us freedom, because God desires that we incline our hearts to God by free will, by choosing to love God. That choice is important. But it also means we can choose God or we can choose to reject God. We can choose to love or choose to reject love. And God leaves that choice up to us. God does not coerce us, though God constantly invites us. But God leaves it up to us to decide our choice. God even goes so far in that, though, to come among us in the person of Jesus, coming right where we are, inviting us into a life of love. And it's also true that God patiently waits, longing for our return when we stray. In our lesson today from the book of Joshua, the people are presented with a choice. Joshua was appointed by God to lead the people of Israel after Moses died. They have been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. It's been challenging, it's been difficult, there's been some rebellion, but God has been faithful. God has led the people, God has cared for the people. And now, led by Joshua, they are about to enter the promised land. The wandering is about to cease. But before they enter that land, Joshua gathers the people at Shechem and reminds them how they got there, how the Lord God is the one who called Abraham and Sarah, and through them created generations of descendants, even though they were thought unable to have children. It is God who delivered them from slavery in Egypt and brought them to this land. It is God who has prepared this land for them. And so before they enter, Joshua asks the question, whom will they serve? Will they serve the gods back in Egypt? Will they serve the gods of the people in that land around them? Or will they serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And before the people answer, Joshua declares for himself and for his household, he will serve the Lord God. The people then say they will do the same. They will serve the Lord God who has delivered and cared for them. They promise to walk in the covenant that God has made with them through Moses on Mount Sinai. They will turn their hearts, their minds, their wills to serving God. Now, what follows what we heard this morning is a description of a liturgy that marks the people's promise at Shechem. Joshua has the people declare their loyalty to God, affirming the covenant, and then Joshua writes the words of this promise in the book of the law of God. And a large stone is set in witness under the oak in the sanctuary of God, at the site of God's presence with the people. This liturgy affirms, ritualizes the promise the people make. I would suggest that each Sunday when we gather, we do so liturgically to mark our choice. Like the people of Joshua's day, we too have to choose. Whom will we serve? Will we follow the path of our society, treating our spiritual lives as a private matter, my personal choice, my individual solitary practice? Will we place our trust in material possessions in the pursuit of wealth, crediting all we have with our own effort and labor? Will we place our faith in military power and might in the way of violence, trusting that violence and domination will bring about right? Will we choose the way so common in our age of alienation, of vitriol, calling those who disagree with us enemy, seeking our way at all costs? Or will we choose God, the creator of all that is, God who loves us so profoundly as to come among us in the person of Jesus? Will we choose to follow Jesus, who loves us so deeply he gives his life for us, setting us free from the powers of evil and death through his death and resurrection? Will we follow Jesus in his way of humble, self-giving love? When we gather for the Eucharist, we do so in community, and we reaffirm our promise to follow Jesus. The liturgical rite that we enact each time we gather both declares our choice for God and forms and strengthens us to live that choice. The ritual liturgical action of the Eucharist affirms we are created by God, we are dependent upon God for everything. We gather as a community called by God to live in thanksgiving, to offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God. In the Eucharist, we are fed by God in Scripture, just as we were a few moments ago, hearing the good news of God fulfilled in Christ through the Holy Spirit. We affirm that we believe in God when we say the Nicene Creed. In that creed, we proclaim our faith, our trust in God. I believe in God. We offer our prayers to God for the world, the church, those in need, for ourselves. And we confess our sins, acknowledging we are not perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God and of God's call. We all stand in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. And then we exchange the peace, that sign of reconciliation that affirms nothing divides us, before we come to this altar, to that table where we receive the bread and the wine of the Eucharist, that visible sign of our unity in Christ. In the Eucharistic prayer, the great thanksgiving, we offer ourselves, our souls and bodies, as well as bread and wine from God's creation, and our material resources, our money. We give them in thanksgiving to God for all that God has done for us, for all the gifts that God lovingly has given us. And what we offer, those gifts we give at each Eucharist, are transformed by God. The bread and wine becoming the body and blood of Jesus. The gift that we receive thankfully, that we take into ourselves the abiding presence of Jesus. The heavenly food of the Eucharist that strengthens us to choose, moment by moment, each day of our lives, to follow Jesus. To open our hearts and our wills to living by love. That allows us to become the people that God creates us to be and calls us to be. And so in the Eucharist, we are transformed. We are formed into a people united in Christ. We become one body. And we are called then to be God's presence in the world. In our gospel today, Jesus promises us, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." In the Eucharist, we are united with Christ. In this sacrament, Jesus abides with us, dwells in us. As St. Augustine says, in the Eucharist, we become what we receive. As the bread and the wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ, we ourselves are changed into the body of Christ, Christ's presence in the world. And the Eucharist is our prime offering of thanksgiving, of praise and worship to God. We proclaim our love of God and our need of God's care and mercy and forgiveness. Our liturgical action is rooted in thanksgiving for all of God's blessings given to us. And in the Eucharist, we are united in Christ and formed as God's people. And at the end of the liturgy, we are sent out. We are sent out strengthened, renewed, to love and serve God and all people we encounter. Until the next time we return to celebrate the Eucharist and again enact this liturgy that is at the foundation of our lives. This is not always easy. It's not always easy to follow Jesus and to live this way. And we hear that in our gospel today, where many find Jesus' teaching difficult. Many were told, stop following him. And so Jesus asked the 12 if they will go away also. Peter answers, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Just like the people of Joshua's day, just like the 12 who follow Jesus, we too have a choice. Whom will we follow? What Jesus asks of us, as I say, is difficult. It is in conflict with how the world lives. It even at times contradicts what we feel, how we might want to act. But choosing to follow Jesus is the only way to true and abundant life. Jesus alone, as Peter says, has the words of eternal life. And through the power of the Spirit, we are given the strength we need to say yes to Jesus, to choose his path of true life, to walk in love as he loves us, for the entirety of our earthly journey. Amen.